Naomi's going to play. Naomi's here.
Now I was getting ready to put you to work. She snuck in on us. Yeah. We just sang how marvelous our Savior is in His love for us. This song is What a Savior. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see.
Open your Bibles with me this morning, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read these words. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. These are the parting words of the Apostle Paul, addressed to his dear friend and companion in service, Timothy. This farewell letter was written about May of A.D. 68. Paul was in his prison cell in Rome, and this was just before he was taken from that cell and his head was cut off with a Roman axe. Paul had been born Saul in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, back about A.D. 10. At that time, Jesus was about a 15-year-old boy. Paul had been converted to Christ in A.D. 36. You read about it in Acts chapter 9. He was on his way to Damascus, the capital of Syria, to break up some Christian meetings that were going on there and bring those people back bound to Jerusalem. And the Lord appeared to him, and he was converted there on that road to Damascus. So Paul has been preaching about 32 years. And he's now a 58-year-old man, and he's going to be killed, put to death. When you read this book of 2 Timothy, you'll find there's a quiet confidence in his words. He writes with a calm assurance, not with fear or dread or apprehension, as one might expect under the circumstances. He knows that he's facing death, but that doesn't frighten him at all. He knows that his life and his work is almost over. But Paul is not discouraged in the least. In this statement of faith that we've read for our text this morning, it seems that Paul looks in three directions. He looks around him at his present situation. He looks back over his past life, and he looks forward to that life to come. Notice his words. He said, "I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." If you'll remember, when the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and Paul found out who it was that was speaking to him in that bright light, he had asked the Lord a question. "What wilt thou have me to do?" God showed him and told him, and he spent the rest of his life doing it. We read in Romans chapter 1 in our Sunday school here a couple of Sundays ago, verse 15, where he said, "I am ready to preach the gospel." Paul's life was a life of readiness. He lived in a state of readiness. "Lord, show me what to do. I'm ready to do it." He had told some disciples in Acts chapter 21, verse 13. He said, "I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." He had been told that bonds and afflictions awaited him, but that didn't keep him from going. He said, "I'm ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus." And now then, he tells us that he said, "I'm now ready to be offered." I like his view of death, don't you? Amen. "I'm now ready to be offered." He doesn't look upon himself as a prisoner who's going to be executed, but rather as a sacrifice to be offered to God as a sweet-smelling savor. His life is not being taken from him, but his life is being offered to the Lord. Just as Jesus had laid down his life for Paul, now Paul is laying down his life for the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. So he looks at his present situation, incarcerated in chains, in that horrible, terrible, filthy dungeon cell, and he looks forward to his deliverance with great expectation. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I like the Greek word that's translated departure. It's analusis. A-N-A-L-U-S-I-S. Analusis. That's a much better word than death. Paul really doesn't talk that much about death. When he speaks of death, he usually mentions it as being sleep, asleep in Jesus, instead of death. But this word he uses, analusis, is a military term. Paul was not afraid of the word death or even the experience of dying. But he uses this military term, which means to take down your tent and move on. Analusis. That's what soldiers do when they pack up their gear and prepare to move out. That's what he was doing. Paul saw himself as one of God's soldiers living in a tent. That's what he called his mortal body. He knew that death was just simply taking down this temporary tent and moving into new quarters. Because our bodies are just temporary dwelling places for our souls. On another occasion, Paul said, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," tabernacle, tent, same as a tent, "we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This word, analusis, not only used by the soldiers, but the sailors used it as well. This word, departure. The nautical term means to loose a boat from its mooring and set sail. Untie the ropes. Let us loose. Up anchor and away. That's what happens when a Christian dies. He unties the rope. He raises the anchor. And he sets sail toward that eternal shore of heaven. So death to Paul was a departure. It was a release. That Roman prison was certainly not his permanent home. His little ship was about to be loosed, and he would sail to that heavenly shore to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we can have the confidence that Paul did, for we are ready. And there's nothing to fear. And if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then when you do, this assurance can be yours also. And then Paul, here at the end of his life, looks back in review. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Because he had trusted Jesus Christ, he could look around him without fear, and he could look back on his life without regret. He could look back on those 32 years of his ministry as he had served the Savior, and he could see where he had been and what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him and what he'd done with him and what he'd done in and through him. He was ready to depart. He had no regrets. Lots of folks try to avoid looking back because there's a wrong way to look back. Many people can see only their past sins and their failures, their shortcomings, their defeats. But Paul saw his victories. His life for Christ had certainly not been an easy life by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, when he was first saved, they led him, blinded by the light that he'd seen, into Damascus, to the house of Judas on Straight Street. God spoke to a Christian there in town, said, Ananias, go lay your hands on Saul so we can receive his sight. And when Ananias went over there, he told him, he said, Saul, he wasn't Paul yet. He said, Saul, God has sent me to show you how great things you must suffer for his name's sake. So his ministry was to be a ministry of suffering. And he did. He enumerates them over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Read them sometimes. Some of the things he went through. He'd been in many rough battles. His body bore the scars of his fights. But he'd won. He had run the race and he had won. He'd fulfilled his stewardship. He had fought the world, the flesh, and the devil in city after city, and now he's in his final battle in Rome. But with God, he has never met defeat. He could write, I have fought a good fight. He has earnestly contended for the faith. He could also write, I finished my course. That had always been Paul's great desire, to finish his course with joy. He had written to the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. And he told them, he said, the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. I finished my course. You know, each of us has a course to finish. God has a place for each and every individual. Every Christian has his own course to fill, a work to do. You see, our times are in his hands. So I read this and I said, there Paul preached 32 years. And man, I've been going nearly twice that long. I'm on my 62nd And I haven't accomplished nearly as much as he did in half the time. 32 years he had. He said, I finished my course. Some people are allotted a longer span and some a shorter span to finish their course. I think of Stephen. Stephen was a young man. He didn't have very long to minister. And it was through his death that God spoke to Paul's heart. And I think that Paul's conversion was partly due to the testimony of Stephen that Paul saw when he died. Amen. Paul was in charge of that death squad. But you know, it's not the length of life that counts. It's the depth of it, the strength of it. It's the influence of that life. Paul has finished his course. He could face the Lord and know that his work on earth has been fulfilled and completed. He's accomplished what God had set before him to do. Also, he said, I have kept the faith. I like the word kept that he uses. It means watch over, preserve, as God watches over and keeps us. I have kept the faith. You know, even back in Paul's day, there were some who had departed from the faith. Paul had a dear friend by the name of Demas. On one occasion he wrote and said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. He departed from the faith. He told Timothy here, he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. But Paul looked back over his past life and said, I've kept the faith. While others apostatized, while others departed from the faith, Paul had kept it. And the faith that he's talking about, of course, is that faith that was once delivered to the saints. That faith is that body of saving faith that cost Jesus Christ his life. And it's recorded in the Word of God. Paul not only protected that faith, but he had invested that faith in many lives, including the life of Timothy, to whom he's writing. So take a moment and look back over your own life. Have you fought a good fight? Are you a victor or a victim? Are you still in the battle? Or have you become a casualty on the field? Have you finished your course? Are you doing the will of God from your heart? Have you kept the faith? Have you remained true and faithful to the cause of Christ and to the teaching of the Word of God? Paul could look at the present without fear. He could look to the past without regret. And I hope that you and I can do the same thing. And then Paul looks to the future. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Some people, as they approach the end of their life and they come to that valley of shadow of death, they're afraid of what lies ahead because they don't have the confidence that David had when he penned those words, "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What does the future hold? Some can see only darkness. The Bible warns, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But Paul had no fear of judgment as he looked ahead. He knew what would happen. He would meet the Lord, and at that judgment, he would receive from him a crown of righteousness, and he would have a new head to wear it on. Because that old one's going to be cut off. You know, there's no peace like the peace that we have in our hearts when we know that our future is secure. Amen. Paul's faith and confidence was not in Roman justice or the law. He had done nothing wrong. He was not a murderer or a thief or anything like that. All he was a preacher of the gospel, telling people how to prepare to meet the God that made them. That was his only crime. He didn't consider himself a criminal. His faith was not in his many friends, and he had a lot of them. His faith was not even in himself, but the object of his faith was the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises that he had made to him. So he could look back without regret. He could look at his present situation without fear. And he could look forward. He could look ahead without doubt or apprehension because he had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the books of Rome, Paul's name would go down in the registry as a criminal. But in the Lamb's Book of Life, his name was written as a child of God. And I'm sure that the first words that he heard when he entered into the presence of his Lord was, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." One day, life is going to end for you and me. We don't know that day nor that hour. For some of us, it may be sooner than expected. Our home going may be sudden, or we may have time to contemplate our life as Paul did his from that Roman prison cell. But I hope that when that day comes, you and I will be able to look forward as Paul did and come out with the same ringing testimony that Paul gives in this last letter that he ever wrote. So we need to yield our heart and our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful to him no matter what other men may do, because the important thing is not the praise of men, but the approval of Almighty God when we stand before him. Shall we stand, please, with our heads bowed in prayer? Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this testimony of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his life and what it means to us. Truly, you used him in a great way during those 32 years of his service on earth. But my, the letters that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which have been used and incorporated into the Bible, the Word of God, they bring such inspiration and give us such courage today. And I'm sure that during the past 2,000 years, there have been multitudes of people whose hearts have been encouraged by these wonderful words of Paul. What a testimony he had. What a challenge it is to us to live for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your grace that has saved us. Thank you for calling us into your work and giving us a course to finish. Help us to finish it with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
478.
Number 478, our invitation song this morning. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe he's challenged your life through these words of Paul today. Will you come and do whatever God speaks to your heart about? This evening at the 6 o'clock service, I'm going to be speaking on the Antichrist, a person you do not know. You don't know who he is. You will not know who he is because he's not going to be revealed until we are all gone. Amen. So you say, well, preacher, why are we wasting our time then talking about somebody that we're not even going to be around to see what happens? We may know somebody that might be here. Amen. Amen. And God has told us quite a bit in the Bible about this Antichrist and about the time when he will appear and what he'll do when he comes. It's in the Bible. We're going to be preaching it tonight. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, appreciate your presence. Thank you for coming. Brother Bryant, would you lead us in our benediction?
Our Father, we have heard this theme today of standing. Standing in thy presence one day, rejoicing that you loved and saved me.